The Old Testament reading for today is Psalm 133, which can be found on page 619 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading for today is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 2, which can be found on page 1228 of your pew Bibles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and ourselves in the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Daryl Delaney. I am an Assistant Regional Director of Reach the Forgotten Jail Ministries, also known as Forgotten Man Ministries. We're in 33 different counties in Michigan, and Kent County is one of them. I'm excited to be here with you to preach God's Word today. Thank you to the elders and pastors who made an opportunity for me to come and preach God's word today. I love God's word, and I'm excited that we're gonna get into it today. But before we do, I just wanted to get to know each other a little bit. So here's what you can do to help me to feel a little bit welcome. If I invite you to say amen, you're welcome to say
amen.
If I invite you to say praise the Lord, you're welcome to say
praise the Lord.
If I invite you to say hallelujah, you're welcome to say say amen.
Amen.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, great. So I'm mobile and vocal, and if you don't say amen or anything, then I'll preach for 99 minutes. I got your crock pots and all that stuff going. You want to go home. I want to make sure we get you out of here on time, but it will not distract me. It actually helped me preach. So welcome to join in on the fun there, and you can insert it anywhere you like. Oh, here's one more. Say prove it.
Prove it.
That one. Watch out for that one, because if I say that one to you, then that means I'm going to give you a scripture to prove what I am saying so that you don't take my word for it, you take God's word for it, because, I mean, grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now that we got to know each other a little bit, I'm really excited to jump into this word. If you don't remember anything else I say to you today, remember this: Christ makes us children of light. Let's say that together. Christ makes us children of light. That is who we are. That's not who we're striving to be. That's not who we are driven and pushing to become. We already are, thanks to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we know that he makes us children of light, but I want to tell you a little bit about John, the one who wrote this book, 1 John. So this is the same John who is a son of Zebedee. Everybody say Zebedee.
Zebedee.
James and John are the sons of Zebedee. Jesus found them and made them become disciples and apostles. And they were called sons of thunder because they were a little different. You don't get the nickname sons of thunder if you don't have a reputation that precedes you, okay? Now, I used to make a lot of noise when I was younger, but I didn't get the nickname sons of thunder. So these guys, they must have really had a reputation. Now, it's interesting that these sons of thunder, when they encounter Jesus, they have a little bit of that thunder still in them, but something happens to their hearts. John becomes the one whom Jesus loved. John becomes one of the three that go up to the mountain and transfigure, sees Jesus' transfiguration. Not all 12 saw that. Only Peter, James, and John went. John was the first one to get to the tomb when he saw Jesus' resurrection, outran Peter. John wrote the Gospel of John as an eyewitness. And he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and also the book of Revelation. He did love Jesus so much. And before Jesus died in the Last Supper, he leaned on his bosom. He loved Jesus. Jesus told John, "Here is your mother at the foot of the cross. Mother, here is your son." Jesus loved John, and John loved Jesus. And there were people who would persecute John for his faith. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him alive. He survived it somehow. And so there's like, we can't do anything with this guy. Let's just exile him to the Isle of Patmos. So there he gets that wonderful revelation that we read in this book. So John is a man who loves Jesus. And he is one that really wants to make sure that the church he's writing to knows the truth. Everybody say truth.
Truth.
Their issue that the church he's talking to is having is that there's this weird teaching going around called Gnosticism. This weird teaching that says that matter is bad and spirit is good. So why would anybody want to be or hang out in this flesh any longer than they have to? It also dismissed anything that you're supposed to do that is right and good. So you could do whatever you wanted to this body. You could drink and party and have fun or whatever. No moral consequences, because when you die, you're going to escape it and your spirit's going to go up and you're going to be fine. They could not wrap their minds around Jesus becoming incarnate, because why would anybody want to go into a fleshly body? What? So that's why Paul in Colossians 1 is so adamant about making sure that they knew that Christ came in bodily form, so that they know he dwelled in the flesh and that he suffered the pain and died and had actual physical feelings that went with that. And John knows that that teaching can break the church. So he's trying to shut that teaching down with this book and with other books like it. Now, he helps us understand that we are children of light. Here's one thing that children of light do. Children of light testify. Let's say that together. Children of light testify. When you testify, that means you're a witness. Jesus says we'll be witnesses based on Acts 1:8. We will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. A witness is simply a person who has seen something, experienced something, and says something about what they have experienced. A witness sees something. and said something. Now, John is making sure that they know, these people who are trying to teach this false doctrine. No, I'm not giving you any hearsay about Jesus. I'm not giving you what was third hand and my cousin and somebody down the street said. I actually seen him. I actually listened to him. I actually touched him. I actually ate with him, slept with him, and actually spent 3.5 years with him. So don't tell me what you think you heard, because I have a testimony. Okay, all right. John has an eyewitness account. Listen, I think you guys should understand that we're all witnesses of what Christ has done. Amen? Amen. Have you not witnessed Christ do something in your life? Have you not witnessed Christ do something in someone else's life? Have you not just witnessed a wonderful baptism that reminds you what Christ has done for us? When we see, we say. When we witness something, we give that testimony. So, like, when you go to court, they get a Bible like this. They used to, at least. I mean, whatever religion you believe now, I don't know. But back in the old days, they bring a Bible up and they put your hand on it. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And what do they say? I do. They say, I do. It's an oath. I know y'all want to say amen. I get it. I appreciate it. John said, I do. He promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. And that's what this word is, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. And we put our hands on this. But John put his hands on Jesus. You know why? Say why. Because he is the Word made flesh. He actually touched the Word made flesh. And he decided that he would testify to what Jesus has said and done. And he promised to bring those teachings out in real time. He promised to bring those teachings out here, y'all. So, as children of light, we're called to testify. We're called to do what?
Testify.
That's right. And the second thing we're called to do, children of light walk in the light. Let's say it together. Children of God walk in the light. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. That should be familiar to you guys. Doesn't that sound familiar? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him that was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He's echoing his own word. John wrote that in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, and he's writing it again in 1 John 1. Remember, he's the light. So if he's 100% light, there's no darkness in him. He's pure, he's spotless, he's holy, he's clean, no flaws, no blemishes, no imperfections. And he has a relationship with us. Oh, Lord. I got a little bit of a dilemma on my hands. First of all, God is never going to go into darkness. He's not going to be. His character isn't dark. So, but my character is, I have a few issues in my character. I don't know about you, man. Sherman Street might be the first church that has all light all the time, amen. I go to Grand Rapids class and see, so I know that ain't true. What does it even mean to walk in the light? Because this, we can get flowery with spiritual Christianese. We get a little confused, like, oh, yeah, let's just walk in the light. Amen. Let's walk in the light. What does that mean? Let's get into what it means. It means to walk with integrity. It means to choose not to do what the sinful nature wants to do. It means honoring God when no one else is looking, like at 2 a.m., when it's just you and your mobile devices and no one's looking, or Netflix just keep going. A few suggestive things on YouTube you probably shouldn't look at. It means representing Christ in thought, word, and deed. It means extending grace to people who you know don't deserve it. It means extending mercy because you want to let somebody have it and you know you shouldn't. It means operating in the fruit of the Spirit. It means submitting to the authorities. It means not only looking to your interests, but also the interests of others. Say, prove it. Your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Why? Because his attitude was not seeking his own interests, but the interests of others. Out of humility, consider others better than yourselves. Exactly what Jesus proved. And that is the attitude that we need to have. Our life should reflect the light of Christ. Amen? Amen. It should reflect it. Here's some benefits to that. Number one, the scripture says that God will be with us if we walk in the light. It also says that we will have fellowship with one another in the light. And it also says that Jesus will purify us from our sins by his blood. Now, I'm talking about this contrast between light and darkness. John does a lot of contrasts. It's black or white, y'all. It's left or right. It's good or bad. It's up or down. Can't be both. So for John, it's very clear. But if our God is the one who is light and there's no darkness in him, how in the world can I, as a believer who have a lot of dark situations I'm still working through, how do I navigate a relationship with a God who's perfectly light? Say how. Children of light confess sin. Let's say that one together. Children of light confess sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we do confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You hear the word that I started with? If. If we claim that we have no sin, it's a conditional clause. So if this, then that. If this, then that. So if we are prideful and we act like there's no problem and we say we're fine, how many people are, how you doing? I'm fine. You know, fine is not is an acronym, right? Fine means freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So if you say you're fine, I believe you. I'm fine. Yeah, right. I bet. How can I pray for you? We need to come clean. Our God sees. He sees everything. So I have children. I got a 16-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. When they were little, they thought they were smarter than me. So one of the little ones would, you know, grab a cookie out of the cookie jar when I said that's enough snacks and then have chocolate all over their hands and face. And what happened? So I'm giving you an opportunity to confess. I don't know what happened. Clear evidence all over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's how we are with God. He can see we done it. He can see the chocolate all up. He can see what we, and we, oh no, God, everything's fine. Can I just sing a couple more worship songs? Can I just get, the offering's coming, right? Okay, I can do that. But it's clearly, he's like, can we talk about that? Can we talk about the, come now, let us reason together, he says. Your sins are like crimson. They should be like snow, Isaiah 1. I want you to talk about it. If you act like nothing's happening, we can't fellowship. If I tell my mom that if I'm the kid that has the chocolate all over my face and I don't say to my mom, yes, I have done this, then I've broken fellowship because she don't want to hang out with me because I'm being dishonest, right? Can we fix that? Yes, I know it's another day. You haven't addressed that thing yet. So until you address that thing, I don't know if your family is like this, but my family, they have like PhDs in holding grudges. I remember what you did now. I know everybody laughing and everything, but I remember what you did now. Until we talk about that, everything's not going to be okay. Maybe that's just my family. This is West Michigan, everybody's so nice. Probably don't happen, right? So all we need to do is admit that we're walking in darkness, y'all. If we claim to be without sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. That's a whole story you came up with to think you innocent when you're really guilty. That's something that God says, we could actually purify you from that if you name it. Now, it says if you claim that you haven't sinned, you make God out to be a liar. That one kind of scares me. I'm going to tell you why it scares me, because in an African-American household, if you call anyone older than you a liar, you might not make it. So if I would have ever claimed my mother to be a liar, you would not have met me today. We would not be ordained in the Christian Reform. We would not be married, nothing. This is how it works. I said you did it, Mom says. No, I didn't, you say. Oh, you're calling me a liar? You better not answer that question. Woo! Well, actually, I'm just want to push back a little bit on that. I am not calling you a liar. Let's get this straight. I am not calling you a liar. I just disagree with what you're saying. I think we got two different, testimonies on this thing. What I'm saying to you is that fear that I have of saying that she is a liar is actually the reverence that I have for my mother. There are consequences that come behind. And God says, if you claim to be without sin, you're making me a liar, which is really crazy because he is the author of truth. How do you make the one who created truth to be a liar? If you're walking as a contradiction into his word, you're like, really? I am the way, the truth, and the life. How are you going to make me a liar, bro? Really? So he's saying, please just confess it. And then he says, when you confess it, you have an advocate. Everybody say advocate. Oh, I love how Jesus himself is the advocate because he understands the trials. He understands the tests. He understands the struggle. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin, Hebrews 4. So he knows what I'm going through. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, praying for us. Whenever God wants to step in, this is my holy imagination, you can pray for me on it if it's wrong. Jesus said, wait, remember we paid for that. I paid for that. You already did the judgment. I understand it's not going well right now. I take care of it. I sent the Spirit. I take care of it. But I'm praying for him. I'm praying for her. I'm praying for you. Say, he's praying for me. Yes. No, me, personal. He's praying for me. Say me, as in personal. There you go. Not Pastor Darryl. I know he's praying for Pastor Darryl. That's great. I need a lot of prayers. But he's praying for you too. He's praying for everyone who has lied, everyone who has had a lustful thought, everyone who has gotten drunk, everyone who's broken wedding vows, everyone who has overlooked the poor, the widow, the orphan. He's looking and he's praying for everyone that forgot their Christianity because their partnerships, their fraternities, their partisanship. He is praying for those who don't understand it. And that's what we need to do to walk in the light, is confess our sins. Now, I work at county jail. Everybody is in there, they know. It wasn't our life goal to come to jail. So they're real and they're raw. They're like, listen, I screwed up. I know I deserve to be here, and I'm sorry. And so what's interesting is that there's a contrast between some of the people that are in there and some of the people that are in church, because church people, we look nice, we dress up, everything's fine, remember? But my prayer is that we will be able to come clean with God and that we will confess so that he can purify us. Don't you want to be purified? I think he is the one who wants to cleanse us. And as I wrap up today, I want you to know that because if we're children of light, we are going to testify. If we're children of light, we are going to walk in the light. If we're children of the light, we're going to confess our sin, not just to God in some corner somewhere, but with an accountability partner, someone who is going to walk with Christ that you could call, that say, I need help, I'm falling, or I messed up. Can you help me? Not so that you can pray to them, but because they can hold you accountable to having that relationship with God that you said you wanted. Now, we had the prayer of confession up here in the words of assurance. A lot of new churches don't do that anymore. I don't know why. But I think that is really good to understand that we need to understand that we have some darkness that we need to work on. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some more darkness that I need to continue to work on. And I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is willing to help me and also Jesus' advocating. And then the third thing is that his blood, y'all need to understand the power in that blood. The blood he shed on Calvary, it has done the work. And that means we have hope. I know that it's hard, and I know that we have some things that we need to work out. But I love the fact that our God is patient, and he is willing to continue to work with us. Every day you open your eyes, he's not done yet. And you have another chance every breath you take and every step you walk. So my prayer is that we will remember that Jesus has shown us what it means to be children of light. And if you don't know, now you know. Amen? Now, take this question with you before I pray. What is one thing that God is asking you to look in your life and confess to him this week? Because children of light confess. It should be just as easy as eating and drinking and taking a shower and all that. We do those things regularly. We take care of this outside temple regularly. Let's take care of our spirits regularly. Let's make confession and repentance a normal and regular practice in our lives because it keeps our spirits feeling clean. Amen. So think about this. What is one thing that you can do that you need to confess this week? And then tell somebody who is accountable, you're accountable to. Talk to your pastor, your elders, or your friends, or whoever you're walking with so that they can hold you accountable and say, how's that thing going? That's what you need. We all need it. We need somebody to say, how's that thing going? Because that's how we get to receive more of God's grace. Now, just know, I'm reformed. And I believe that you can't do nothing without God's power and God's grace and God moving in your life. So understanding his spirit does that. And he is the one that helps us. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the point you bring us in our walk with you. And God, we just thank you for the opportunity to come and preach today, reminding us from your word that children of light is who we are. And you did that work as you made us your children when you finished the work on the cross. And I'm so glad you love us because you love us. And we don't have to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore. There's nothing we can do to make you love us any less. We're your children. And we're reminded of that in the baptism, that your covenant promises come to us before we're even aware. So hopefully one day Shekinah, like all of us, will grow and say, hey, God's been loving me the whole time. I think I love this guy back. And I will profess my faith publicly and let my light shine. So, Lord God, let us all do that. In Jesus' name, amen.